Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Hey, well, folks, how are you doing today? Are you letting the problems possess you? Are you letting what's going on with these facades, these charades that the progressives, I mean, they're just going around pumping their narrative more and more. And it almost seems like they believe they're in a position, and they do. They believe they're in a position that, you know, they're almost ready to take their victory lap. If you actually want to look at it, that's what they're trying to do right now. They think they're taking a victory lap. And we've got some feedback. Today's Feedback Friday, and I can't emphasize enough, it's now or never. We really need, and actually, I think many of you know this, and so instead of just hounding on now or never, I want to thank all of those who are actually, you know, getting involved, taking action, those people who are out getting petitions signed and getting a and joining into and becoming a part of and getting into a national campaign on constitutional compliance. And that national campaign, believe it or not, is being driven by Paul Venable, who's running for Senate out of Missouri. The most dangerous man in the entire political landscape for the 2022 election, because he's not beholden to anything and anybody other than the Constitution. And with that kind of weapon in his hands, there's no reason why he can't vanquish all of the enemies in front of us. Folks, we've got, as a matter of fact, I heard back from him. And so here's the interesting thing. As you start to get these things that we're telling you, it all of a sudden really just becomes a bright light that, you know, if you're standing in the right position, it's not a beacon. It's absolutely a guide for you to you know, how to march forward without having, without getting snared in any of the, you know, I'll say obstacles or any encumbrance along the way. Now, one of the things that we're going to get into in Feedback Friday is an article that candidate Paul Venable sent me, and it is from the National Review. And it's interesting because he got it. I mean, he nailed it when he said he just found this article, and it just came out recently. It came out on the 16th, so yesterday, out of National Review. And the author and everybody talking completely missed what we're doing here. They completely missed what really happened. They're actually believing that voter fraud and those types of problems is a constitutional problem. No, it's a moral problem. It's a societal problem. It's a crime. How many crimes does the federal government have jurisdiction over in the Constitution? For those crimes that are being committed on U.S. soil, it amounts to treason and counterfeiting. That's it. So where's voter fraud? Where does the federal government have any jurisdiction or role or responsibility in ensuring that we don't have vote? That is a state problem. And when we look at the federal government trying to usurp more and more and getting themselves more and more involved in elections, are you kidding me? Come on, folks. It's time to wake up, right? Anyway, we've got a lot of things we want to cover today, and actually, the majority of all of the things we really want to cover are going back to that, and I'll call it again, the comprehensive positions to campaign on for your county, state, and federal elections. These are the key issues, and we're going to be covering the press. We're going to get right back into where we left off. So, again, do not get possessed by the problems. Quit, you know, getting sucked into these long debates and conversations regarding the problem. I'll tell you what, you really want to be productive, start telling people, why don't you ask people that want to talk to you about the problems? They go, hey, what do you think about this, the January 6th crap that's coming out of Congress? Well, your response should be, do you really want to talk about that, or would you really like to talk about the solution and fixing all of this? And I'll bet you anything, their lights would, you know, their eyes would lighten up. I need to slow down a little bit because my head is operating faster than my mouth. So anyway, their eyes would light up, and there's no doubt in my mind, these people would just be sucked in. People want solutions. They've been programmed into looking at the glass as half empty. They have no hope. All they have is, you know, despair. They think it's all lost. This is why the progressives are taking a victory lap. They've programmed us to actually accept that we're going to lose. What is that old saying about that mustard seed? Folks, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed, and he will give us the blessings and support that we need. There's just no doubt in my mind. If we move forward with faith in using his Constitution, and I know that sounds, you know, out there, because we've been indoctrinated to think that this Constitution's an arcane old document. That Constitution was written more for this time than anything else, because it is now when we're dealing with these levels of corruption and everything else, that what we have inside this Constitution is far more powerful and far more effective in cleaning up our government. We have everything we need. It's about time we start using it, right? So let me get into what we call the obligatories. We've got this old, as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, if you're looking for, and if you're considering, I know it's a little early to think about Christmas, but if you really want a good quality hardwood desk, or you want a hardwood table, hardwood furnishings, entertainment center, shelves, reach out to Timber Nation and let these guys know what you need and what you'd like, and they will work with you, and you will be blown away at the product and the quality and even the price, because it's a small family business, and because they've got everything's local for them. They're not dependent on, you know, all these incredible costs. Now, I'm going to tell you, the sooner you get in the queue, the sooner you do this, the happier you are going to be. Because what we need to do, as you know, is we need to actually focus on, you know, all of the impacts that we can make. But back to, you know, in Timber Nation, as they are looking at, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little fragmented here. Timber Nation may be impacted by the shipping costs, but most of their other impacts have been kind of really marginal in talking to Chris. And so what you can do is, if you get in the queue, the faster you get in the queue, because it's not going to get better between now and the end of this year unless we actually get the Supreme Court to actually do their job. And we're going to talk about this again. We're going to focus a little bit of this at the beginning of the show here. So let me just kind of move forward. And the other thing that we have in the queue that we want to actually advise you, if you are looking for a campaign, if you're actually looking to set up your county, it costs about $2,500, and I believe that's a yearly cost, an annual cost, for website support for your, you know, your own campaign, or for your own, let's say, your constitutional community or constitutional county organization, what have you. Go check out AdLocal. AdLocal has turnkey solutions, and they have the best pricing. You know, when Ben Carr gave me the pricing, and he gave me $2,500, I looked at that, and to be honest, I said, are you kidding? Really? It's that much? And he goes, yeah. And as I started looking around at what other people are charging, folks, $2,500 is cheap for a year. Now, I know there's some people that are just getting into the race, or they kind of started late, and they're paying through the nose. Folks, don't let this happen to you. As a matter of fact, they can get you up and running very quickly for $2,500. Give them a call, check them out. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if I put that up on my website, but I need to get it up there. I'll put the link up on our website this weekend so that you can actually go take a look at what they're basically proposing as a website design. And you know, I know a lot of people complain about my website because it just seems old, but I'm telling you what, if I look at all of these other websites with these scrollings and slides and so forth, and I'm going, really? I prefer my design. Everybody looks the same now. I mean, it's just like more and more websites are designed and built that way. And I'm going, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But anyway, let's move forward. We've got a comment line, 425-270-5416. And as we kind of move into this article, again, this is Feedback Friday, and the most important thing we really wanted to point out was this article that Paul Venable sent us. Now, this was done by the National Review, and if I remember correctly, it was written by, let me see here, I'll pull up the name, Zachary Evans, National Review, and the name of the article, it is called Eastman Admitted Bid to Reject Electors Would Lose 9-0 in the Supreme Court, and Pence counsel testifies. And so I don't know if this is all about the January 6th testimony and everything else, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a few of the paragraphs, and I'm going to give you some editorializing, because this gentleman with the National Review, Eastman, it seems like nobody knows what they're talking about. Nobody understands the Constitution. We'll be right back after this.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me make this really, really, really clear, because right there in the Constitution, in Article 2, as well as in the tandem with the 12th Amendment, we can actually see where the responsibility falls upon the state legislators. It's the very first line of subsection 2 of section 1 in Article 2. In other words, Article 2, section 1, subsection 2 states this: each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislatures may direct. As the legislatures may direct. In other words, the Constitution is very clear. It didn't say governors. It didn't say jurists. It didn't say, you know, executive assistants. It said state legislators. And the reason why, all laws are vested. The legislative authority is solely vested in your state legislator. In other words, the only people that can create, modify, or change your laws are your legislators, your representatives. In other words, we are in a Republican form of government. And bottom line, this is why Bob Schultz really brought that up, that it was a violation of the Article 4 Guarantee Clause, because we're guaranteed a Republican form of government, not some executive form or aristocracy or theocracy or monarchy. It is a Republican form. In other words, our government is based upon our representatives. And they're the only ones that can dictate, specifically in this process, only state legislators can do this. And we pointed out how 31 states violated this clause, as well as the Republican form of government clause, the electoral clause. In other words, that only state legislatures can choose in such a manner. So in such a manner means the process of how you are going to vote. In other words, when it comes up to the election time, it is the state legislatures that will determine the manner of how we are to choose our electors. So putting everything else aside regarding the Electoral College, 31 states directly violated the Constitution. All 31 states that violated it, these people need to be dragged out. They need to be prosecuted. The governors, whoever it was that did this at the state level, but there's not one case. There's not one case in any state that's going after these individuals. We documented all of this. But nevertheless, as all 31 states sent their electors to Congress, Congress was notified that these 31 states violated the Constitution and these electors were unconstitutional. The Electoral College was unconstitutionally formed. In so doing, the Congress, or at that point in time, Congress must reject the Electoral College. Now, because they had a majority of progressives in Congress at that point in time, even though we took some of the Congress back in 2020, we didn't have enough. And so they all opted, along with Pence, the best thing to do would be get rid of. And so they decided not to follow the Constitution. They followed what would be expedient, what was perceived as the popular vote. Well, folks, that's not how we choose our president. But let me get into this article out of the National Review. The first paragraph I really want to jump into is right here. It says, one day before January 6th, the 5th, lawyer John Eastman privately admitted that his proposal for then Vice President Pence to reject the electoral votes that were unfavorable to President Trump would not have survived a challenge in the Supreme Court. Now, let me ask you this. Why was he asking him to reject the ones that were unfavorable to him instead of actually supporting the Constitution and telling Pence? See, one of the things you're going to learn is Eastman is supposedly a constitutional lawyer. This guy doesn't know the Constitution front ways, back ways, or any ways. And if it slapped him in the face, it'd just go, how do you do, madam? Bottom line, when we're looking at what he just said, what he's basically saying is that he's telling Pence to reject Electoral College votes that are unfavorable to Trump. All votes that were done by the 31 states, all Electoral College votes coming in, all of these electors in the Electoral College from the 31 states should have been kicked out. They should have said, sorry, we don't have time to do another election. As a matter of fact, the Constitution does not require a new election. Why? Because if the Electoral College is incapable, is inept, and unable to elect or choose, I should say, our president, then it goes to Congress. That's the whole point of the 12th Amendment. We're not tied to these popular votes. The Electoral College can fail. Because if the states want to continue doing these shenanigans like California and so forth, and we get to a point where we cannot, you see, folks, we moving forward, we have to hold every state accountable to at least abiding by the constitutional process that these electors must be constitutionally chosen. And as a matter of fact, we need to go down this path of telling, because, see, it says that the legislatures can direct in such a manner the process. They have the ability of the process, of directing the process. They cannot, nowhere in there do they have the authority to direct the outcome. So in other words, when they say, well, the popular vote, winner takes all, that's absolutely unconstitutional. We need to start putting our foots down on that. Because everybody in a congressional district that actually voted for a very specific elector, the way it should have, the way it should happen, your elector should be actually certified as your elector. Your state legislature cannot say, well, we don't certify these because, you know, you didn't win the popular vote. We're not in a democracy, folks. We're in a Republican form of government, and that elector is your representative. It's almost like saying, well, you know, because we have a popular vote for, you know, president, we're just going to run a popular vote for all of our representatives in Congress. In other words, they will be disenfranchising. If you live in a blue state, you'll be completely disenfranchised of representation. And that is unconstitutional. It's the same thing with the choosing of the president. People try to marginalize what this really means, and we cannot marginalize the importance of your representation. So going on into this article, addressing the crowd on January 6th rally, besides Judy Giuliani, Eastman argued that historical precedent supported the notion that Pence had the authority to reject slates of electors, citing the example of Thomas Jefferson, who in 1800 rejected Georgia's electors due to a technical issue with the ballots. However, Eastman privately conceded that Jefferson's example did not at all support his position. And he's absolutely right. The fact of the matter is the only position to take is the fact that there's 31 states that violated this clause. Prior to January 6th certification of the Electoral College results, Eastman, then a constitutional law professor, not a professor from Chapman University, authored a memo proposing that Pence reject votes from certain states that were allegedly tainted by fraud. Folks, that is not the argument. It's not about fraud. It's about the violation of the Constitution. And when it comes down to it, the court, the federal court, by them actually turning their back on this case, has actually proven that they've been politicized as a weapon against the Constitution and in supporting the political agenda. Don't think that because these guys are conservative, they're out to support your liberty. They're only supporting what they believe is what helps us kick the can further down the globalist road to get us where we need to be. They're doing a job instead of defending the Constitution. The last paragraph I want to read. Eastman subsequently told National Review in an October 2021 interview that rejecting Electoral College results outright would have been crazy and that the memo was a preliminary version of a final six-page memo. This guy doesn't know his from Shinola. And I had to censor myself, but it irritates me that much that anybody that says they understand and teaches the Constitution, this guy's dangerous. Getting in front of people and telling them these types of things, that none of this has anything to do with the Constitution. When it comes down to rejecting Electoral College results, I mean, I would just love to see Congress actually stand up and reject the Electoral College, and then exercise the 12th Amendment, and then come back out and then tell the nation exactly why they rejected, and actually have Congress come out and say, we have a Republican form of government, not a party form of government. The parties cannot choose your electors. Every state that is allowing your party to choose electors is disenfranchising you, and we're not going to be accepting this anymore. There's nowhere in the Constitution that allows them to hand over your electors to the party. Secondly, this, you know, winner takes all is absolutely repugnant. All of the states, every state that is doing this is violating the Constitution. And as a matter of fact, if you want to make it interesting, by the way, folks, if you have, you know, a small populated state, let's say Wyoming, there are three electors. You have two senators and one congressman. Well, the congressperson is supposed to represent all the people. What the state legislatures could do, just to make it interesting, is actually divide the state between the two senators and say those people that live in these counties and districts or precincts would be able to vote for this elector, and these people would be able to vote for a different elector. That way, the people would actually be choosing, everybody in the state would have two electors to choose instead of just one, or instead of just voting for the president. Does that make sense? And we should be voting for the electors. This way we're not tied to these stupid tickets. We'll get back with this right after this.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
All right, we cannot dive into this, you know, into all the details, but bottom line, as I was stating, the Constitution does not allow the parties to create tickets. Actually, the Constitution, the 12th Amendment, requires that the electors vote separately. They are to choose who they want as president and who they want as vice president. So this is why the party stole your electors. And so this is why we really, they perverted our constitutional system to a party system. But bottom line, Congress has the power to actually reject the vice president when it comes time, when he's standing as the president of the Senate and is calling for the Electoral College. He could actually reject the Electoral College because the states have perverted and violated the Constitution that far. But in technical details of the January or the 2020 election, 31 states outright violated one very specific part. Even though many other parts are being violated, it doesn't matter. The Electoral College could not, even based on everybody's agreement to violating, let's just say everybody agrees we're going to violate it, they're going to work out an amendment to give the parties the power to do everything that they're doing right now. There's no way that we would allow a governor, jurist, and or other bureaucrats to decide how we're to choose our electors. All legislative authority is vested in our legislators, period. And so the fact is that we have the ability, folks, in two different paths. And one of those paths is January of 2023. If you make this coming election about the 2020 election that we want Congress to do, because they created a constitutional crisis by actually in allowing to seat this idiot that's in the White House. He's not the president. They call him the president, and they basically said, we're allowing this unconstitutionally formed electoral college to choose what we call a president, but they couldn't do it. They can't do it. And I say that because there's no authority behind an unconstitutionally formed electoral college to do so. So when Congress basically rubber stamped this whole process, all they did was they created a constitutional crisis, because everything that idiot has done, everything he's signed, everything he's done has been unconstitutional because he's not our constitutionally seated president. We don't have one. Now, had they actually gone into and executed the 12th Amendment? Now, see, this is where some people go, well, what would happen? The results could still be the same. Well, just remember that the House of Representatives will be the ones to choose the president. And in so doing, the House of Representatives vote by delegation. California only gets one vote to choose the president. Wyoming gets one vote. So there's two votes for the Democrat. That's right. Cheney will vote for, I'm not going to say his name. Anyway, as we go through this, because there are 30 states currently, right now, in Congress that are Republican controlled, then it should easily favor, because all we need is 26. We need a clear majority. So let's just write off Cheney, and let's just, I don't know about any other states. I do know that Cheney's that bad. I mean, Cheney, as a matter of fact, I'll be so surprised if she survives this coming election. But that being said, I just want you to understand that we have a chance to actually fix what the Supreme Court and what our politicians and everybody else could have done. We have a chance to fix this. We have a chance to end this crisis. We have a chance to put this nation back on at least a reasonable operating tilt and buy us more time to be able to reel back our, this nation, our politics, our finances, everything away from the globalist and put America back on the track that the framers designed, or I should say, as the divine hand of providence inspired our framers to put us on. Because there's no doubt in my mind, we have all the authority and we have all of the power right there within the Constitution. We can do this, folks. Let's start looking at the glass as half full. Now, where we left off in the positions, the comprehensive positions to campaign for all of you that are actually running, we have the opportunity. And what we did was we've gone through the First Amendment and we went through the Second or the 14th Amendment, and we've proven to you that the application of freedom of the press, because it is not a U.S. citizen's privilege or immunity, the press that we're talking about, the platforms can be regulated. The states should, and this is what we'll get into these in the petitions, but bottom line, if the states actually come out and basically redefine what the press is, and break the press down into individual reporters and then the institutional or the organizational platforms like Twitter, like the Chicago Tribune, like Fox News. And they identify that the platform, any platform that starts grinding agendas, and what we need to do is the states need to set up a press pool, just like a jury pool. And every month they need to actually have people across the state, go into a press duty And as a matter of fact, I believe that the funding of this should actually come from the revenues of all of the press that's in the state. In other words, as these, you know, they pay this tax, and those who pay the greater tax will be those who actually fail to make it as the press. In other words, let these press pools determine who are the propaganda mills, because if they're not presenting all sides of the argument, and if they're suppressing, let's say on the front page they have the anti-gun position, and on the very back page in a corner they have, you know, the pro-gun position where nobody's going to see it, then that's obvious that they are going out of their way to present information in a way to get people to think a very specific way. And they can claim, oh, well, we're not biased because we have this little paragraph here. No. Folks, we really need to start setting standards. And the states need to basically say, when you run an article, you need to put everything succinctly together. You know, your pros, cons, and then the facts. If you've got, you know, a academic view that reviews, you know, all of the issues, all of the sides, and the whole angle, such as the constitutional view, because this is important, folks. You have to understand that there may be a third view, because just because the Democrats see it one way and the Republicans see it one way doesn't mean that that's the truth. As a matter of fact, there's always three sides to every story. There's his, hers, and then there's the facts. And let the facts lay out there so that when people start looking at the sides, they can start actually going, wow. When you actually present information in that manner, we actually start educating people in how to see for themselves how issues are being driven by very specific agendas or narratives. So anyway, as the states start defining and applying these things and start actually going after the platforms, then you now actually have these revenues coming in, because right now, the staffing, if you look at all of the journalism in America that's operating, see, just remember, all journalism does not run out of Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. may be the small vestibule of, of reporters getting news, but most of the center hubs, Atlanta, New York, L.A. I mean, so these major city places, or I should say these other major cities, are places where they do a lot of the analysis. That's like the home headquarters for analysis and forming the narratives and those types of things. And so all of the states have the ability to actually start shutting down these propaganda mills, or better yet, as a matter of fact, what they need to do, and this is how I would have them do it. I would have, if it is a TV program or a TV channel, every half hour or require that they put up a 2-second blip that this channel is not a news or a factual news entity. It is a, what do you want to call that? What do you call those varieties, like the Sun, the Globe? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. They're basically entertainment. They're just gossips. They have nothing to do with any facts. And so this way, everybody now starts recognizing that ABC, CBS, NBC, Netflix, all of these different channels, Amazon, they have nothing to do with presenting any information. All of their programming is all directed and managed, at least the content and information is being managed by a collective. And so people will start, realizing, well, you know what? We don't want this. I don't want these perverts driving this information, because there's all of these sub-messages, folks. Things that you may not pick up on, your kids are picking up on, because they're learning lingo, they're seeing signs, and they're being taught these types of things so that they will recognize them. This is why, kids will giggle when, what's so funny? This happens all the time. It was big in my generation as well, as we started understanding. And, we laughed. I remember laughing at the adults who were speaking, trying to talk like us, trying to be cool, when we knew they weren't. We knew they didn't know what they were talking about. Anyway, we'll be right back after these promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so there are two petitions that are coming out of this, at least two petitions. But what we want to do is we kind of want to give you the big picture, because what we're talking about, by having the states define that the people are the press, the reporters who are testifying what they saw, the people writing the articles, that is the press. What that means is when you write in social media, you make a post, and social media says that what you just did violated their community standards, then they get punished because they have no right in actually suppressing the press, in you reporting something. Now, it's one thing if they actually, because when you lay out obscenities and those types of standards, if there's pornographic material, you know, Twitter should not even be allowing pornographic material. Like I said, we could fix that problem just like that. But the reality is they don't want to. What they want to do is they want to maintain all these huge lanes of gray so that they can get you into them and start, or at least your kids and society, when we're operating in the gray, they can get you into spaces that you don't belong. We just shouldn't even be playing in these types of categories. But anyway, when we look at social media, when Facebook basically, you know, puts you in Facebook jail because you posted something that, you know, you don't have content, they can't do that anymore. When they do that, your state, every time, you will actually be able to report to the state your post and what they did, and then they will actually have to pay a severe fee. And every time they do that, because they need to make a law, that they ramp these fees up, so that Facebook starts paying dearly for suppressing the press, because the law states that the press shall be free and shall be able to express, report, and testify what they saw, what they've witnessed, and the information that they can report on. Bottom line, the platforms, any platform that starts to go down this path of censorship, they will be running into the illegality wall. They're going to be going, wow, this is illegal, and we're going to be hit with fines. This shuts them down. Now, again, decency standards must be applied, but those who lack objectivity, in the platforms themselves. When you go to the news, because Facebook itself is a platform. Fox News is a platform. When we start looking at these platforms, they'll be considered a tabloid. There's that word. Thank you so much. Tabloid. And anything that plays into the tabloid, they will be able to fund, because there will be a fee assessed to all of these different organizations. And as a matter of fact, when a new paper comes on board, it will have to actually prove itself, you know, right out the gate that it is not a tabloid. So when you, and this is why we basically get you to start subscribing to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle, so that you can kind of look at what they're doing and kind of understand where we need to be, because you could become the dominant press. You could become the dominant platform, and Reclaiming the Republic Network could become the dominant platform in America in the next decade easily. Because people want objective reporting. There are people that like to live in echo chambers because they don't want to have to deal with things that conflict. But I'm telling you, once we actually start getting all sides of the story, so that when people are reading the, you know, the anti-gun, the pro-gun, and then the constitutional view, why guns are legal in America and these types of things, then it becomes a lot easier to start identifying who the Karens are, who the drama queens are, because they're going to avoid reading the facts. They're going to avoid reading that, and they'll be called out. And eventually they'll grow up, they'll become mature enough to start dealing with facts, they'll start dealing with the reality and truth, and we'll all be in a better place. Now, the petitions, again, the two petitions that we have here, that we want to basically point out or, you know, share with you, are these. And this is petition 64 and 68. Remember, at the very beginning was one. So we're now at 64 and 65, not 64 and 68. Sorry. I don't know where 68 came from. Anyway, first one, states need to first define that the people, they need to pass a law that the people are those who wish to report what they have witnessed or found into a platform. So in other words, they should be able to provide an article into a platform. And states also must call out propaganda mills, also known as media platforms, as a scourge on our society and create standards for what the press, we the people, must do for them to obtain press privileges for platforms. Because, see, one of the things that's going to happen is the access into the White House and all these places, it's not going to be ABC, CBS anymore. It's going to be, you know, you and individuals that will be rising up in the prowess of your ability to write objectively. Because if you can actually write an article that covers both sides and actually gets into the facts, in other words, writing more and more academically, then people are just going to read your article because they realize that you're saying everything that needs to be said, so that they have the full view and can make the best decisions for themselves. So 65, states must establish civil duty, just like jury duty, and that's what we're calling it, is civil duty, and, you know, this press pool, where all U.S. citizens, regardless if they're voters or not, we can no longer allow people that, you know, they just don't want to register to vote, so they don't have to be in jury duty or anything. That's got to change. If you're a U.S. citizen, if you have U.S. citizenship and you choose not to vote, okay, that's on you, but you still have the civil duty as a U.S. citizen to, you know, do your time in jury duty, and you still have the responsibility to, you know, to actually support the community with, you know, these civil duty jobs. Like, so we already presented this idea that we actually have like a jury duty to analyze and report and break down whether the press is actually behaving well or not. We want the exact same thing for other functions in, you know, our processes, you know, like when we start looking at, you know, law enforcement, when we start looking at healthcare, and if you start looking at the structure of the committees, these executive committees for your constitutional counties, every county is going to have these things, and they're going to have people that will be working on these things that will actually be helping in reporting and identifying why our healthcare problems in your, you know, why we have really crappy healthcare support in our county. Who are the culprits? What's going on? And why? How can we improve these things? Because it's sad that your counties aren't involved in this. Oh, well, that's because the federal government knows better and they're going to actually tell us what we need to do. Are you kidding? That we did, our Constitution did not grant and delegate a centralized government to that manner. They only have very limited central powers. All other powers should be, and this is why you want to read this article, because I break all of this stuff down so that everybody can understand. We have a distributive, our political energy is not centralized at the national level. Our political energy is centrifugal. It actually flows out to the people, where the most political energy is closest to the people. Well, what government is closest to the people? It's not the states, folks. It's your counties. That's right. And so your county should actually be where most of the decisions are being made. That's where most of the legislative power should be, not at your state, not at the federal government. And as a matter of fact, when you read this article, you will realize that when we created this new constitutional republic, all of the states that were sovereign at that point in time, they were colonies. You got to remember that these colonies did not come into existence by the people instituting them. The crown, the British crown, and the people here in America stole one of the colonies, New Amsterdam. But nevertheless, all 13 colonies were established by charters of the British crown. They weren't instituted by men. So when the Declaration of Independence basically said all governments are instituted by men, well, what they did was they changed it into a Republican paradigm to where we actually, the people actually start standing up their local governments and then they stand up the states. That's why in the Enabling Acts, the states didn't just create themselves, the counties created the states, just like the states created the federal government. So who should be the base, or where should most all of the power be? It should be at the base of where our political power gets formed, and that is your county. It's a paradigm shift, and I know a lot of people are going, what the heck? This is, doesn't make sense. I'm hoping that it absolutely does. So anyway, as we move into the next issue, we're actually going to be talking, well, I'm going to just gloss over this because we've got this article that we want you to read that I'm basically publishing right now. It's almost done. It's The First Amendment Right of Petition. That's the name of the article. This is the fourth article of my series. If you have not read What is the Real Problem, and then you have not read Martial Law in the 21st Century, and then you need to read, so this is the order you need to read them, and What is the Real Problem? Martial Law in the 21st Century. The next one would be The Unseen Teeth in the Constitution, and then the fourth one will be the right of petition, or the First Amendment right of petition. Let me see. I want to make sure I got the name of this. Yes, right. The First Amendment Right of Petition. That's the name of the article that we're going to be producing. Hopefully, it'll be done this weekend. I'm trying to get this done so I can get a lot of other things done, because this gives you a lot of information that you've just never been taught regarding America, and nobody's ever looked at it in the real perspective lenses that we have to look at and what our government was designed to do. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.